Praise the Lord, everyone. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We are going to sing a chorus as we turn to 2 Peter chapter 1 to begin with. And we're going to keep on walking by faith. Isn't it great to know the Lord is our Savior?
Yes.
That Jesus came to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Paul used to be, now I am. Well, that's the way we got to feel. Praise the Lord. All right. I mean, we can vie for that position if you want, but all right. Let's sing this chorus, Keep On Walking by Faith.
Keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know He won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know He won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know He won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith.
Give the Lord a hand praise this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I've got something to do this morning that I find to be very difficult, actually. I hope I can do this. It may be more of a Bible study than preaching. I'm just not sure yet. I never use notes, as you know, and I'm not a noted speaker. And it gets a little complicated in some places, but hopefully the Lord will help us. There's some things we need to know and understand about the time we're living in. Amen. You know, something strange has been happening in these last days, and that is that the vast majority of churches, even those who used to talk about prophecy somewhat, no longer do. And either they dabble in it a little bit or they ignore it completely. And they'll say, we don't understand all of this. And of course, sin has entered into churches to the extent that I heard this morning that the Episcopal Church is about to ordain, or how would they say that? They had another word they used for it. It's just really blasphemous. A lesbian assistant bishop. And it made the news, actually, because some people don't like it. Nobody should. But it just shows you where we're at in these last days. The churches today, all these big mainstream religions are absolutely occupied by the devil. And that shouldn't surprise us. The Lord said it would happen. That day shall not come except there come a falling away first. And of course, all of the ancient sun worship and all the religions of the ancient empires are still going on today. They're practicing the same pagan holidays. Just look at the paganism that's all around us. Look at what people are doing this time of the year, even in a bad economy. I mean, it's amazing. We're living in a time when food stamp applications are increasing by 20,000 per day, 100,000 per week, new applications. Now, that's getting severe, I would say. And, of course, all kinds of mixed reports. Doesn't it seem like Washington is just occupied by a bunch of goofballs who don't know what they're doing? It would seem that way. Actually, they're willing stooges in a conspiracy to completely destroy this country and to bring about a one-world system. The Bible's so clear on this. Where are the churches in all of this? Are they so out of touch with God, so out of touch with the Bible, that they can't see what's happening? Are they not able to see the woods because there's just too many trees in the way? Or what? But anyway, we're going to be looking at 2 Peter chapter 1, and we are going down. These are some of the last words of the Apostle Peter. I'd like to pray first and ask that the Lord would help us, because without Him, we can do nothing. Father in heaven, we are thankful, Lord, as we approach Thy holy and almighty throne, which we firmly believe in. Lord, I know that Thou art seated upon Thy throne as King of kings and Lord of lords, that Thou art almighty and that Thou hast all power, Thou knowest all things, and Thou art everywhere at once. Thou art full of mercy and grace, O Lord, and let Thy mercy and grace now be upon Thy children. Help us, O Lord, I pray, as we reach out unto Thee, for these are treacherous times, and we need Thy Spirit to indwell us and to lead us and guide us and direct us in all things. And now, Lord, give us ears to hear and hearts and minds that would perceive and understand, and help us to follow hard after Thee, O Lord, and to prepare our hearts and our minds and our souls for Thy soon coming. Guide and direct us now, O Lord, in Thy word. Give us ears to hear, we pray, and let Satan now be bound, rebuked, cast out, made powerless, O Lord. By Thy great saving power and by Thy blood and through Thy mighty name, give us victory. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. We are in 2 Peter chapter 1. And the Apostle Peter wrote in verse 15, he was about to leave this world for a better one. You know, the one over there is better, if you know the Lord. Moreover, he said in verse 15, 2 Peter 1:15, moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. I want to tell you this, there are some things we can't afford to forget. There are things we have to keep to the forefront of our minds all the time. And we live in a world that is full of distractions, things that will try to pull you away from what God wants you to be thinking about. But we must concentrate in the Spirit all the time. He says in verse 16, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables. Boy, there's a lot of those going around, huh? When we made known unto you the power and coming. The what? The power. Making known to you the power. That's the Holy Ghost. See, we're here to tell you that you can be filled with the Holy Ghost. We're making known the power through His Word, by His Spirit. We're not concealing anything like the Masonic Lodge, where they take an oath to always conceal and never reveal. Never reveal? You know, everything that we have from God came to us by revelation. When you listen to preaching, you read the Word, you study, all of a sudden a light comes on. Boing! You know? Wow! Where'd that come from? Came from the throne of God! Jesus looked at Peter one time and said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. You know, some people say, they like to listen to me and they say, boy, that Meyer comes up with some stuff. That wasn't me. You know, it surprises me when I say it. Sometimes I've never heard it before. All right? For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming. Folks, He's coming again. He's coming again. The day is, or night, whenever it is, depends on where you are geographically. But the Scripture says the day and night are alike unto Him, so it doesn't matter. But when He comes again, the sky is going to fill with the angels of God. There's going to be a loud trumpet sound, and the dead in Christ are going to rise first. And all of us will be gathered unto Him, and this could happen any time. The world is doing what the world will do. Prophecy is being fulfilled. God has ordained prophecy, Bible prophecy, Scriptural prophecy is of God, and it literally regulates the passage of time. And as we look at prophecy, we shouldn't be afraid of it. We should look at it as a gift from God to help us to understand the time we're living in, and that we can be activated by the Word before those things happen, so that we're ready. Now, he said, again, we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. When were they eyewitnesses of his coming? At the transfiguration. They saw the glory of God. They saw Jesus begin to shine brightly as he was transfigured. They saw this in a vision. Can you imagine seeing something like that? And there were Moses and Elijah with him on the Mount of Transfiguration. They were seeing a preview of his coming. Well, why Moses and Elijah? Moses, we know, died and God buried him. And Elijah never died. He was translated up into heaven and carried up in a whirlwind. The chariot of fire came and he went up in a whirlwind. Elijah represents those that are alive and remain. Moses represents the dead in Christ. Moses died and was buried. Elijah never died. There will be those that are alive when he comes. And so there was Moses and Elijah representing the children of God of all time. And then, all of a sudden, as suddenly as they appeared, they disappeared. There went Moses, like a bubble bursting. There went Elijah, like a bubble bursting. The law and the prophets giving way to the new covenant, to Jesus Christ, that we're not saved by the law, that the law and the prophets are all the word of God, but all things are in Jesus Christ. He is our all in all. There's one new covenant. We don't go back into the Old Testament to find a plan of salvation. We don't go back there to find what days we're going to do this and that, or what we're going to eat or what we're going to drink. The Bible says all those were a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. He stood there, they saw no man but Jesus only. We look to him, that new covenant only. Now, when they were in that Mount of Transfiguration, in fact, he identifies it here in verse 18, and this voice which came from heaven, we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. What voice? Well, what did the voice say? Verse 17 says, for he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Where was the Father? In him. In whom? Not with whom. In whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. And now he says in the 19th verse, you see, after telling of that incident and how they were actually eyewitnesses of his coming, he says this to us: we have also a more sure word of prophecy. There's nothing ambiguous about prophecy. It is definite. It is absolute. And it's certain. We have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed. What's he saying here? Should we listen to the voice of prophecy in the Word of God? Amen. You do well that you take heed. We're going to know what's coming, so that when it happens, you can look back to where he said it would happen, and know that it was God. And I'm going to be more specific on this shortly. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light. Prophecy is a light. It's a brilliant, bright light that shineth in a dark place. Honestly, if you didn't know anything about God and you just looked at this world, wouldn't you be trying to figure out what is going on here? Either that or you'd go on a drunk or something. If you didn't know God, could you figure this mess out? It seems like everything that's happening is a mistake. Everything. It's a comedy or tragedy of errors, however you want to look at it. Anyway, prophecy is a light that shineth in a dark place. It says, until the day dawn. How long will prophecy shine? Until the day dawn. And the day star arise in your hearts. Who is he? The day star is Jesus Christ. The bright and morning star. I know that the Illuminists say that that's Lucifer, the bright and morning star. But of course, he is the imposter. Satan is the wannabe God who never will be. And the Lord thrust him out of heaven. And that's why they represent him by that star. They put stars on top of evergreen trees. They put stars on our flag. They give children do well in school. They give them a star for it, right? A five-pointed star, which means only one thing, witchcraft, earth, wind, water, fire, spirit, the 5 points. It's everywhere. You do well in the military, give you a bronze star, right? Stars all over the place. They go into Masonic Lodge in the temple room, and on the ceiling, it's a blue ceiling with white stars. Now, Jesus Christ is our bright and morning star. And the Word of God tells us that he will arise in our hearts. In a dark place. You know, it's interesting in astronomy, not astrology, but astronomy, and I've studied both, and I'll tell you, astrology is of the devil, but the science of astronomy, and you can, this is just from simple observation, if you get up early in the morning, before the sun rises on a clear day, you'll always see a morning star. It's either going to be Jupiter, or it's going to be Venus, one of these planets. And it'll come up, and when it's up, it tells you that very shortly the sun will rise. When you see that star, that bright, you can't miss it. If you look over toward the east, southeast, this time of year especially more to the southeast, because our earth is tilted so far back. The sun is very powerful this time of year because we're so close to it. We're just tilted away from it. But anyway, that bright star will come up first, and then it tells you the day is about to dawn. Well, I believe what this is telling us is that as you begin to look at prophecy as God gave it, that day star will rise in your heart. God touches you through prophecy. When you look at it and you believe it, you begin to feel the power of it, the day star rises and you begin to realize the new day is dawning. Our Savior's coming. It won't be long now. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. It's not private. It doesn't belong to exclusively any one person or group of people. It belongs to God. All right? And he shares it with us. He reveals it to us. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. The will of man has nothing to do with prophecy. Nothing. But holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Amen. That's where prophecy came from. When God said certain things would happen, he didn't tell us when, But he said they would happen. So that when they did happen, you'd look back to the fact that he said they would happen, and you know it's God. What an awesome thing that is. True prophecy doesn't look forward, it looks backward. When it happens, you look back that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Remember the day of Pentecost? People being filled with the Holy Ghost? Hallelujah. Power of God coming down, and Peter stood up and preached. Said, these men are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that. What you're seeing right now, this is that which was spoken. Prophecy looks backward by the prophet Joel. Then you know it's God. When it happens, the fact that he foretold it shows you that it's God. What's the devil's counterfeit of prophecy? That I can read your palm or read your tea leaves or the bumps in your head or your astrological chart and tell you what's going to happen later. And pinpoint it and all that. The word occult means an unauthorized attempt to gain knowledge, forbidden knowledge. It's really the definition of the word occult. But true prophecy looks back. Now this is very, very intriguing to me because when I look at the world today and I see things happening, I begin to search the scriptures. And as I pray and I search the scriptures, I find, hey, things are going on right now that God said would happen a long, long time ago. If I go back to Daniel, which is what we're going to do right now, and if prophecy is a shining light in a dark place, then I need to know these things. Daniel is a book of dreams and visions. And it fits into the book of Revelation like a hand in a glove. And if we look at Daniel chapter 2 just for a few verses, King Nebuchadnezzar had dreamed a dream. He didn't understand it. And he was so mad when his soothsayers couldn't interpret it that he said, I'm going to kill them all. I'm going to destroy them. And that'll be the end of that. Obviously, he had a little bit of a temper. And Daniel was numbered among them, so he would have been killed. So Daniel prayed to the Lord. Daniel, living in old Babylon there, old Babylon, just like we live in New Babylon. Well, it's true. Look around you. We have all the characteristics of Babylon. And I could be detailed on that if you want me to, and maybe I will a little bit shortly. But here's Daniel in old Babylon. And he prays to the Lord and says, Lord, have mercy on us. And he begins to worship the Lord. And he basically says, Lord, show me the dream. And God gave Daniel the identical dream he gave to Nebuchadnezzar. God can do that, you know. God can give you a dream. God can give you a vision. Now, Daniel dreamed the very same thing. What a miracle that was. And he rejoiced about it. And now, he comes to the king Nebuchadnezzar in verse 31 and says, Thou, O king, sawest, and behold, a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee. And the form thereof was terrible. The image of a beast. Understand this about prophecy. God always looks at any government or any empire as a beast. He refers to it as a beast. When God looks down from heaven at the United States, he sees a big, ugly beast. When he looks at the United States of Europe, which just came into being really on the 19th of November, whether you realized it or not, he sees a big, ugly beast. Any government, any empire is seen as such. But here's this big image to this beast. And he says in verse 32, this image's head was of fine gold. Fine gold. We've got a senator by that name. Anyway. This image's head was of fine gold. His breast and his arms of silver. His belly and his thighs of brass. His legs of iron and his feet part of iron and part of clay. Well, what is this all about? Now, I find this rather interesting, too, because if you look at the economy, which they say is the lifeblood of any empire, is its economy. If that's the case, boy, this country needs some transfusions bad. But anyway, if you look at it that way, you look at the first empire, and this represented by this image, and it's gold. Was there a time when our country was on the gold standard? And we went off of that, didn't we? Then we went on a silver standard. I mean, all this is in the Bible? And then we went on a copper standard. Remember when they took the silver away from you and gave you copper slugs coated with something? So they look silver. You look at the edge of it, hey, there's copper in there. And bronze, of course, is an alloyed form of copper. And then comes the iron, which is basically not worth a lot, but it has strength in it. It's heavy, it's hard, and you wouldn't want to get hit with any of it. But in other words, we have a decreasing value here. An economy that's changing constantly. But it isn't just economy, it's other things. But I find it rather interesting that we have that progression. It says in verse 33, his legs of iron and his feet part of iron and part of clay. Thou sawest till that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and brake them to pieces. Now the feet of this big idol, this image of the beast, had iron in it, but it was mingled with clay, and so there was no soundness in it, really. Now there's a stone cut without hands. That is our Lord Jesus Christ, the rock of our salvation. Thrust at the feet of the beast to smash it and topple the whole thing. The bigger they are, the harder they fall. All right? Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors. And the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. That's a picture of the coming of our Lord when he destroys the final beast empire. And we certainly have got one. Actually, it's coming together as I speak. You know, we got this thing coming up in Denmark right now. And I believe is next Sunday the 13th, I believe it is. Every church bell in the world is supposed to ring simultaneously. You got to unify church and state, right? You got to bring it all together and ring those bells and summon those spirits. In the occult, the ringing of bells was always to summon spirits. They use it in witchcraft. They ring little bells, you know. You go back to the old European royalty. When they wanted a servant to come, they'd ring a little bell to summon that servant. And the ringing of a bell was always a summoning sound. Come on, come, come, come. And as my old grandmother used to say, my old German grandmother, when the church bells would ring, if you listen to the bells, they were singing out, bring Geld, bring Geld, bring Geld, bring money, bring money, bring money. That's what the bells were saying. You think I'm a character. My grandmother was a character. Tough old German. She was in her 80s. I walked through the fields with her. She lived out in the country. And, how do I get through this barbed wire fence, you know? And she would just lift that thing up, crawl right through. She always wore dresses. You'd never see her wear anything but a dress. And she was out in the field. She'd crawl through the barbed wire and everything. And I was struggling to get through it. She just zipped through there, 80 years old, you know. Used to it all the time. Tough old German. But she was right on. Bring Geld. Anyway, this is the dream, and we will tell the interpretation thereof before the king. I like that. We. He and the Lord. All right? He didn't say, I'm going to tell you. We'll tell you. Thou, O king, art a king of kings, not thee, but a king of kings. For the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power, and strength, and glory. It was a vast empire that he had. And wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field and the fowls of the heaven hath he given into thine hand and hath made thee ruler over them all. Thou art this head of gold. Now he's being specific with him. All right, Nebuchadnezzar, you are the gold head. He's interpreting prophecy for him. And after thee shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee, and another third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth, all the known world at that time. Of course, we know the second kingdom was the Medo-Persians, and the third was the Grecian Empire under Alexander the Great, right? And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron. There you have the iron fist of the Roman Empire. For as much as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things, and as iron that breaketh all these, shall it break in pieces and bruise. It was going to be a voracious, powerful empire that would take over the world. You might say, but this is just a history lesson. Hey, not so. For I'm going to show you that this Roman Empire, which had died, was broken up into three parts and fizzled out, as it were, according to prophecy, rises again in the last days. And whereas thou sawest the feet and toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in it the strength of the iron, for as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay. And as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. There's strength in it, but there's also weakness in it. Praise God for that. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. It's combined, but it doesn't really mix. So what's happening? To unify all the people of the world, you incorporate all the evil spirits of the world, and they, as they possess the people, and I'm going to tell you something, there used to be a lot of demonic oppression and obsession, but there's more and more possession. Where Satan, his spirits rather, come in. When I say Satan, I'm referring to everything subordinate to him. These evil spirits come in and literally dwell inside of a person. And you wonder why all these weird things go on? Anybody who is programmed to destroy has demons living in them. Hypnosis puts demons in people. Drugs opens the door for demons to come into people. Alcohol opens the doors for demons to come into people. Licentiousness and lewdness opens the door for demons to come into people. And they try to mingle with the people. But there's no real soundness there. So there's a unity and a unifying of all different races of people. And then, with all these demon spirits working with humanity, They're trying to put together a one world government of global citizens that will honor and worship the fallen archangel, Lucifer, or Satan. That's what you see going on right now. And everything coming out of Hollywood, and every dictate out of Washington, and everything that's going on is all feeding into this as I speak. We have a government that wants to enslave you, and sadly, there are a lot of people that don't mind being enslaved as long as they get 3 square meals a day, as long as they get medicated, entertained, and that someday they'll bury them. Where is the freedom of thought where one can reach out to God? People are captivated by a programming system. It's in all of our... You know, they want to give you high-definition television and all this kind of stuff. All of these things are putting things into your mind that you have to deal with, and it's going to detract and draw you away from God. People are being entertained right into hell.
Amen.
And so the Word of God tells us in verse 44... And in the days of these kings, remember there were 4 of them? Kings here also means kingdoms. All right? Shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed? When did he do it? If there were 4 of them, when did Jesus come? During the time of the Babylonian Empire? No. During the time of the Medo-Persian Empire? No. The Grecian Empire? No. The Roman Empire? Yes. The Bible tells us, remember in the days of Caesar Augustus, when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, that Jesus was born, and it was not on December 25th. That's the birthday of the sun god, and I'll debate that with anybody. So all these Baal mass trees that are put up and all this lighting and all this commotion and hoopla going on out there, it's all satanic. Try and tell it to people and see what kind of reaction you get, and you'll know it's satanic. People say, don't you celebrate that? No, I'm not into witchcraft. The Lord took me out of that. Am I being too rough today? I'm just a harmless little guy here, just giving you the Word of God. All right? In the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And he did. And we're in it. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. And the Word of God is what? It's like a hammer that breaks the rocks in pieces. The Word of God, the sword of the Lord. We don't really realize what we have. If we'd ever start really believing what we think we believe, we would see a lot of miracles come forth. But don't worry, the time will come when they will, out of necessity. For as much as thou sawest the stone that was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it break in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter. And the dream is certain. It's certain. And the interpretation sure. So 4 empires would come. But the 4th was different. It seemed that there were 2 stages of it. To cement that fact, let's turn over a couple pages to chapter 7. In Daniel 7, I'm not going to read all of this for lack of time. But I can tell you that Daniel saw 4 beasts rise up out of the sea. He's looking at the Mediterranean Sea, Germans call it their Mittelmeer, Middle Sea. All the known world surrounded the Mediterranean Sea. To the utmost west were the poles of Hercules or Gibraltar. You go to the utmost east, you come to the land of Israel. And of course, Africa to the south, Europe to the north. The Middle Sea, the Mediterranean Sea. Something rises up out of the Mediterranean Sea. Four beasts. The first was like a lion, and it had two wings. This, of course, was Babylon again. Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonian Empire. The second was a bear with three ribs in its mouth. And he heard a voice saying, "Arise, devour much flesh." The second beast came up out of the Mediterranean Sea as well. Always the Mediterranean Sea. That was the Medo-Persian Empire, represented by a bear, because as you know, if you read in Daniel, it tells you how their law could not be altered, could not be changed. Boy, we could use that here, changing everything on us. Anyway, the third beast was really strange looking. It was a leopard with four heads and four wings. This was the Empire of Greece. You can look in history. This did happen in exact sequence that I'm telling you and that the Bible said it would happen. Remember, it's a more sure word of prophecy. So, this fourth empire represented Alexander the Great. It had four heads because Alexander the Great died in his 20s. Here's the man who conquered the whole world, the known world, in record time. A leopard with four wings, great speed, great agility. But it was a beast. All governments are beasts. It had four heads because when Alexander the Great died, his four generals, Lysimachus, Cassander, Ptolemy, and Seleucus, took the empire. Then later on, you had the Ptolemaic dynasty, the Seleucid dynasty, and so forth. And that empire was overtaken by the Roman Empire, Julius Caesar and the subsequent Caesars, and they set up an entire system by which they ruled the entire world, even as far away as England. Now, what's the significance of all of this? The Roman Empire fell. It's all ancient history, isn't it? Well, I don't know. If I look around here, just for an example, if I go down to the Capitol or I go over to Washington, D.C., I see all kinds of Roman and Greek things. If I look at the language of law, I find Latin. The word lex means law in Latin. It's all that terminology. The language of academia is Greek. All the sororities and fraternities, and they all have Greek letters, you know, and that's the language of academia, the intelligentsia. It seems like that's still with us. There's fragments of these empires are with us, and the fragments are coming together. Now, Daniel, in chapter 7, saw these beasts come up out of the sea. And it says in verse 15, "I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit, in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. I came near unto one of them that stood by and asked him the truth of all this. So he told me and made me know the interpretation of the things. These great beasts, which are four kings which shall arise out of the earth." Kings also meaning kingdoms. Now I'm leading up to something here. I'm going to bring this up to date very shortly. "But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom." Hey, this is good news. Now you can praise the Lord. "And possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever." Now we can praise the Lord. We know the outcome. Then I would know the truth of the fourth beast. All of it intrigued him, but he had to find out this fourth beast. What was this all about? This strange, bizarre beast with iron teeth that not only destroyed, but stamped the residue of what it destroyed. Then I would know the truth of the fourth beast, which was diverse from all the others. He couldn't even describe it, comparing it to an animal. He couldn't. It was just a dreadful looking thing. Exceeding dreadful, whose teeth were of iron and his nails of brass, which devoured, break in pieces, and stamped the residue with his feet. And of the 10 horns, 10 horns that were in his head, a beast with 10 horns. And of the other which came up, and before whom 3 fell, even of that horn that had eyes and a mouth that spake very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows. You know, talk about a similitude of prophecy. I'm not talking about a direct fulfillment here, but when I saw George Bush stand up on the pile of rubble that was the World Trade Center with a bullhorn talking to people, I just couldn't help but think, here is a representative of that beast stamping the residue of what he destroyed, and he's got, all you could see is that big bullhorn and 2 eyes. And a mouth speaking great things. You know, come and help, volunteers, you know. Give blood. You know how many Americans gave blood to that thing? And they destroyed most of it. But people wanted to do something. They wanted to give their blood. It wasn't even needed. The vast majority was destroyed. But anyway, here we see he's wanting to know about this particular beast. And it says in verse 21, I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them until the Ancient of Days came. He didn't come yet, did he? Right? For the second time, he didn't come back yet. So how long is this going on? It's still going on. And judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth. That hasn't happened yet either, but it's about to. Oh, I'm full of good news this morning, huh? Well, really, it is good news. The Lord's coming again. And shall tread it down and break it in pieces. Now, from here, and this is probably not going to be comprehensive. It would take weeks. But I want to go to the book of Revelation, and we're going to see this beast again. You see, it isn't just ancient history. The way things are going in this country, if you want to see ruins, you don't have to go to ancient Greece. Just look around you. Ruination is everywhere. But in Revelation chapter 13, here's John, not Daniel now, but John. And he says, and I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns. 10 horns. Now, when the Roman Empire fell in 3 stages, when it ultimately fell, it fell because of marauding tribes that came in and plundered them. And there were 10 of them. History bears this out. The Goths, the Ostrogoths, the Visigoths, the Heruli, the Huns, the Turks, the Franks, the Burgundians. The wars that went on broke Rome down. And the fragments of that Roman Empire went into Europe and became the 10 basic nations of Europe. Europe has more than 10 nations in it because of all the divisions and different disputes. In fact, Germany itself had over 100 little states at one time. But I'm talking about the 10 basic types of people in Europe, 10 nations. And if you study history, you'll find that you can condense these down into 10. That's what you end up with. Now, if that be true, it gets real interesting because here's John. He says, "And I stood upon the sand of the sea." Here it is, hundreds and hundreds of years after Daniel saw his vision. And he saw that, stood upon the sand of the sea, and he said, "I saw a beast rise up out of the sea." One beast, just one, not four, having seven heads and 10 horns. We already know from Revelation chapter 17 that the heads are defined as the seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. The woman rides the beast. Remember? From your Bible studying? The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. This great harlot, this false religion, this conglomerate of all the religions. And by the way, the city of Rome is built on seven hills. And you can look that up if you want to and get the names of them. Anytime they have a Capitol building, it's always on a hill, isn't it? Madison, it's on a hill. Washington, it's on a hill. They got to get it up high. It's not an office building, it's a temple. Overseeing the empire of a beast. The word capital in a good dictionary, not one of these $5 ones you pick up. I'm talking about a good dictionary. Look it up. The word capital means the temple of Jupiter or temple of Zeus. That's the meaning of the word. All right? I like to get into word meanings. It really reveals a lot. So he stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. So that when this beast rises up, it has seven heads representing the religious structure of the woman riding on it, and it has 10 horns, the 10 primary nations of Europe. Because why? What's another reason for saying that? It's the Mediterranean Sea that we're talking about. You see, the United States clearly is Babylon in prophecy. There's no question about that. But this particular beast, and the Lord has been opening my understanding on this lately, tremendously. This beast is so dreadful, and it's just now rising up, that we need to know about it. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. Now, that's a little bit of each. That's a composite of what Daniel saw. But it's all in one now. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. Where does the authority for this empire, this government, come from? Satan himself. You know, they just had this Treaty of Lisbon. And there's not a lot of publicity on this. But we now have, and in the Treaty of Lisbon, people don't realize this, It calls for the beheading of all protesters. It's right in the Treaty of Lisbon. England just signed it. Now you watch, England's going to go with the euro. London Bridge is falling down, falling down, falling down. Huh? They've always been separate, that pound, you know, their money, the pound, pound sterling, with their symbol, that L with a bar through it, under the scourge or bondage of Lucifer. Funny looking little symbol. It's like our dollar sign under the bondage of Satan. So that when you go and borrow money to buy a house, you take out a mortgage, a death contract, mortgage, mortuary, mortician, mortgage. And you sign your name next to the dollar sign saying, I'm under the bondage of Satan, and you sign your name for the death contract. Some of these things never get paid off, you know. You know what they call it in England when they buy something on time? They call it, I'll buy it on the never never. They're a little bit more descriptive than we are over here. Get that on the never never. But yeah, the dollar sign comes from antiquity. It means under the scourge or under the bondage of Satan. Under the bondage of Lucifer. But you see, it's all going with the euro now. The euro will be the currency of choice and the reserve currency of the entire world. Watch it happen. So he sees this composite beast come out of the sea. The Middle Sea, Mediterranean, is what we're talking about here, because it corresponds with Daniel's vision. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. Now remember, whose head was wounded at Calvary? A lot of people think, well, they're going to try and assassinate this dictator or whatever, and he comes back to life. It isn't necessarily saying that. Remember, there's seven heads, not just one. And we know that prophecy tells us the day would come when Jesus would wound the head of the serpent. Now, he did that at Calvary. That empire was destroyed, wasn't it? See, Satan had built up the Roman Empire. That empire came down. But it's back. It's back again. And all the world wondered after the beast. United States of Europe, all the nations of Europe becoming one. It happened on November 19th. And nobody seemed to notice. You know, Tony Blair was scheduled to be picked for the president of the European Union, but he wasn't. Instead, they picked a Belgian, and his name is Herman Van Rompuy. I had to get his last name pronunciation correct. I found a sound clip on the internet where I listened to it about 12 times to make sure I got it right. And this guy was the prime minister of Belgium. Belgium's a strange country anyway because it isn't really, there's no solidarity in it. The northern half is Dutch. The southern half is French. The northern half wanted to be part of Holland. The southern half wanted to be part of France. They don't get along with each other. They all hate each other. But they put together this thing. They've got a parliament. And by the way, what does the word parliament mean? Parliament means a gathering place of owls. That's the meaning of the word. That's where it came from. See, witches, years ago, well, they still do it, but back in the Middle Ages, the witches would gather together under the oak trees. Of course, this time of the year is when they would harvest the mistletoe with a sickle, representing the male element, and hang it together with the female element, the holly. Boy, what a pagan world. What fools these mortals be. Huh? And so they gather together under the oak trees. They would draw a six-pointed star, hexagram, in other words, to put a hex on people. 13 witches would stand in position in the hexagram. And by the way, that six-pointed star is the geometric mark of the beast. You have six angles right, six angles left, and six in the middle. So you've got 666. And so they stand there, and they summon up spirits, and they said, according to legend, the witches all know this, flocks of owls would come and sit with them. The Bible talks about owls as doleful creatures, creatures of the night. And the witches referred to them as a parliament. Later on, when governments began to form in England, they decided to call their governing body a parliament, a gathering of owls, a gathering of doleful creatures, creatures of the night. Right? The European Union has a parliament, a gathering of owls, doleful creatures, creatures of the night. And Van Rompuy, he's got a hard last name to pronounce, is a Machiavellian plotter. They picked him because of his Machiavellian characteristics. This guy worked his way up. He's an economist. He worked his way up into the Belgian government. And by the way, what do we have in Brussels? The Common Market headquarters, right? A building shaped like an upside-down broken cross. Do you ever see a picture of it? It's designed to be a cross, upside down, broken downward. If you look at an aerial view of it, that's what it is. And Van Rompuy worked his way up, and King Albert II was presented by the Gathering of Owls, the Parliament of Belgium, a document that would legalize abortion. Now, he was strict Roman Catholic. Of course, so is Rompuy. Okay? Old traditionalist Catholic. But King Albert said, I'd rather abdicate than sign that document. So he stepped down. He abdicated. Van Rompuy came in, signed it, became head of state and signed it, then stepped down, and King Albert came back the day later. One day later, just so he could say, I didn't sign it. Almost sounds like a Bill Clinton thing, doesn't it? Something like... Well, anyway, this Van Rompuy was actually, he's known as the original Belgian waffle. Because he'll waffle back and forth and everything. And he was born on Halloween. October 31st. Isn't that a dandy little deal, huh? Gathering place of the owls. So what does all this mean? Now we see this United States of Europe coming. And by the way, I happened to notice this, so I pulled this real quickly. New EU president, European Union president, Rompuy, announces 2009 as the first year of global governance. The new European Union president, Herman Van Rompuy, has proclaimed 2009 as the first year of global governance during Rompuy's intervention as president on November 19th. He stated, 2009 is also the first year of global governance with the establishment of the G20 in the middle of the financial crisis. The climate conference in Copenhagen is another step towards global management of our planet. That's going on right now. So he's basically saying, we're here. This is it. This is the rise of the Roman Empire once again. This is the beast now is rising up. Rome has come back. It's there. Kind of interesting, too, that the head of it is a Roman Catholic, even though he's a Belgian waffle. All right? This, by the way, was from Reuters News Service, in case you're wondering where it came from. But here's another little thing a lot of people don't realize. See how fast this is coming together? Now, in the health care bill, buried deep within the over 1,000 pages of the massive U.S. health care bill is a non-disclosed section titled Subtitle C-11, Section 2521, National Medical Device Registry. And it has to do with microchipping the people in the program to determine who's going to get medical assistance and who isn't. In other words, you take the microchip so they can regulate you medically. Is this thing coming together or what? You know, we knew so very little before and we were shocked by it. Now we know so much, but let's be shocked by it some more, because we need to get with it. Be filled with the Spirit. This is a more sure word of prophecy here. And what's going to happen? It says in verse 4, "And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him?" All of Europe uniting. You know, what about the United States? Do you know that there are stores in New York City right now that will not take American money? They want euros. We're talking about stores that, American stores run by Americans, they want euros. I remember standing at the big glass bank. I used to do business with them. I don't anymore, but I was down there when the euros first came out. And there was all this excitement, these tellers talking, and everybody. I said, "What's going on?" They said, "The euros just got here." I said, "Oh, really?" I said, "Can I buy a couple of them? How much are they?" They said, "Not till we check them in." And I was looking for some big armored truck, and actually they came in FedEx. All this money, you know, all these euros. And they were 89 cents. Now they're $1.45. What happened to our dollar? Gold is $1,200 an ounce. The dollar is dying a horrible and painful death. As our president keeps making more of them and more of them and more of them, they're worth less and less and less. He is sabotaging. I'm telling you something, Barack Obama has accomplished this. He has tripled our national debt in 1 year. And he is Kenyan born. I got the front page of an African newspaper that'll tell you that. The Sunday Standard, it's right in the headlines. Kenyan-born Obama. He's illegally placed in the White House. What they have done, they have sabotaged this country. They're bringing it down fast. Europe is rising up. The Roman Empire has come back now. This country will be subservient to Rome as a Babylonian province. We are part of it. And we are absolutely controlled already by this. But we know that the one who saved us is coming as a rock. Amen. To topple the whole thing. He's going to bring it all down very, very soon. I saw some of these. I've been looking at some of the products that come out of Europe, some of the trademarks that come out of Europe. There's a new stamp that they have. It's been out for a while, but it's fairly new. It's a circle. It shows a bull with a woman riding on it, which is Europa. And underneath it are three sixes. It's inside of shoes. It's on the collars of clothing. I've got pictures of it if you want to see them. I don't have them with me, but I've got them. I mean, how much more could God show us? And what's it going to take to rattle us? What will it take to make us really pray? And we think, well, the sermon will be over. Later, the day will go on, the night will come, the sun will rise again, we're back to normal. We're never back to normal. We are moving at breakneck speed toward the end of the world. And I hope that some of this that I brought to you today will help you to understand that. I don't know if I got the message across. I hope and pray that I did. But we need to call upon our Savior. This is it. This European Union, they've had temporary presidents before. This is the first permanent president that they've ever had. Mr. Waffle. They were waiting for him. And he was the head of a country that really wasn't a country, because the country of Belgium has no patriotism, just two different forces vying for power, French and Dutch. It's a strange study. Get out here. Don't waste your time on entertainment and frivolity. Study some of these things out. It's absolutely amazing. And it is being presided over by an assembly of doleful creatures of the night. Parliament, an assembly of owls. Well, we're going to go into prayer. Father in heaven, we are so thankful, Lord, we can study thy word together. Lord, we pray that thou wouldst impress upon us the urgency of the hour and the situation at hand. Help us, O Lord, I pray, that we would not only be shaken but moved to pray and also to give this information to as many others as we possibly can. For time is short, the days are evil, and the evil is upon us, but thou art greater. So, Lord, let thy people, even thy redeemed, cry out against this, and help us, O Lord, to walk with thee, and to believe thee, and to stand upon the assurance of thy promises. Help us now, O God, as we go into prayer, and as we reach out to thee, in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.